out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy,
I want to see you. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Good to be in the middle of the week. We made it through half of another one. So we're thanking God that he's given us strength and life, the ability to get out a little bit and be able to do and you and Josiah, y'all socks. Good grief. What? Is that Toucan Sam? Yep, they are toucans, aren't they? Yep, okie dokie. Anyway, how you getting a haircut when all this is going on? You did it yourself. Okay, so now everybody knows they can do it yourself. Josh did it. Josh did. He did give himself a haircut. So they were showing something online the other night about 6 weeks from now, you know, when no hair keepers, you know, your hair's going to be this long, your beard's going to be this long. But we're going to try to keep it all trimmed a little bit and not wear such wild socks. Do not put the camera on those socks. Do not. It will, his mother will have a fit. Does your mama know you even have them? Okay. She probably bought them for you, didn't she? Oh, grief. We'll talk to your mama. This coming Sunday, they're yellow. They're banana yellow with toucans on them. Something Luis would wear. Yeah, got some on now, he said. Okay, we have had a few requests. If y'all would like to, we're going to try to do this Sunday as we did last Sunday. So those of you listening in or watching in or listening later on in the week, we are going to send out the same text message, basically, to be the same thing. We're not going to wish Brother Dale another happy birthday. It's okay if we do, but tomorrow will be his birthday. And he'll be 80 years old tomorrow, so God bless him for living such a wonderful, long life. But Sunday, well, service will start at 10 o'clock, but as we were discussing, now this Sunday's going to be different because we're going to have two services. So the second service will be just our normal, what we have. And I don't mean to exclude. I say we, the core people that come every Sunday and every Wednesday, the musicians, the deacons, the ministers, and some of the different laity that comes, that we're going to have second service will start at 1 o'clock. So if you come Sunday morning, that's okay. We're still going to do, you know, we'll be live streaming Sunday afternoon. If you want to go home, that's fine. If you want to stay, you have to make arrangements to get you something to eat and eat it in the car because you can't come in here and eat to keep our social distancing at a minimum. So if you want to come, please do. For those of you that are coming, Sunday school will start at 9:30, just like we always do, but regular service will start at 10, and then Brother Dale will speak, and then we'll have break, and then at 1 o'clock we'll have second service. So if you'd like to come, we wish you would. Make sure you stay in your car, though. Do not get outside and mingle between cars. So as we don't cause any problems, we don't want to cause any problems. We've let this open a little bit. I hear the government's doing that too. So let's just pray for our leaders that, you know, it's kind of strange that you become human until you're a politician. So, you know, and then they have to do everything perfect. So they're all over our government. But I wanted, if I was Trump, what I would do is I would call one of them people that are bashing him from CNN and all them different fake news networks. I would say, come up here and you stand behind this podium and you tell me what you can do better than I'm doing. If you're going to criticize me, come up here. If you got a better way, I'll hear it. But see, they won't do that. No, they won't do that. But just pray for our leaders. The Bible tells us to do that. It tells us to pray for those who have authority over us. So he's doing the best he can. The group he's got is doing the best they can. But we know one that's perfect, and that's God Almighty. And we understand, too, that all things happen for our good. Nothing happens to harm a Christian. All right? So, and then all that there is going to be weapons formed against us, but he's already raised up a standard. That didn't surprise him the other day when all this happened. He knew exactly, this was right in what he foresaw and the plan he foresaw, and he knew whether you would pray or you wouldn't pray. Exactly. Same way we need to pray for Brother Jewel Forney, laying up there in the hospital in Charlotte. He was life flighted in a helicopter. Because he had bleeding on his brain. He had a blood clot there in his right side of his brain. They thought he had a stroke, and they're waiting for him to wake up. We're just going to pray that God will supernaturally move on the scene. Man's already done what man can do. Man's done what man can do. They went in, they've operated, they've done the best they could. Now we're going to ask God to do something supernatural and bring him out of that, because we need him, and he has a group of people now that needs him. Up there in North Carolina, and we pray for them also. So, God bless you. Let's turn our Bibles to Galatians 3. We're going to continue on with this journey of a believer, part 7. We're going to get into, we know that as Sunday, what we're going to do is move over into another chapter in Ruth and see how another person made her way through a journey that is a parallel to what our Christian journey is, just like Abraham. But remember, there was 4 parts to her journey. Okay, deciding, whatever it was, resting, I read it, and then rewarded. We got to get the reward part is the adoption Brother Branham talks about. It's good to be born again. It's good to go through the 3 stages of grace and get to the circumcision. But tonight we're going to get to where Abraham comes to a place where he meets God in human flesh. And he gets a promise from God. That promise comes to pass. And then God tells him to take him out and kill him. Take him out and kill him. I've give you the promised son. Now, will you do what I ask you to do? Okay, so we'll read it through the scripture, and we will take little snippets out and move on as we can. Also, I still want to tell you that all of y'all that got your stimulus package, pay your tithe. That is gain. You pay your tithe on that money, brothers and sisters. You should already known that. But sometimes you get things and you go, man, this is great. Oh, well, I need to pay tithe on that because it's a gain. So, and even Trump told you to do it. He said, don't forget your spiritual leaders. Don't forget your church that you attend. And it's important. I don't see where that... the world needs some form of religion, whether it be whatever it is. And I was thinking today, I thought, well, we as a bride, we're you know, millions maybe across the world. But there's going to be untold billions of people in that new city. I mean, can go in and out of the new city. We're only the ones that can. But the world itself will be populated by all these people in the Old Testament that died under their faith. That died as little babies, all the little babies that died, all the little babies that's died right on up to, we've got 7 billion people in the world now. There's probably not going to be but 1 million people make a rapture. Just say, well, that's 6.99 billion people that God's going to have to deal with. And he will, and he knows exactly the dimensions of the earth and everything it needs, what, you know, what we need. But I was thinking, though, they're going to populate, they're going to be important. They're important people. There's somebody for us to congregate with and for us to talk about and talk to and listen to their experience as they come through the world. And I thank God that we know where Brother Dick is. We can rest assured that he'll not have to groan to get up out of that, to get up out of that seat right there anymore. He won't have to check his sugar anymore. He won't have to worry about things anymore. He's in a place of bliss and happiness that you and I will only attain to if we're born again. Like Brother Dale was talking about Sunday, you must be born again. The resurrection, you are not included in the first resurrection if you're not born again. Amen? It has no, the second, remember the second death and all the second, you don't want to see that second resurrection. No, you want to be in that first resurrection or be those that are alive and remain. So God bless you. Let's read Galatians 3:16, but let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get started. Thank you, Lord, for having us a good day today, Lord. But now we remember in the forefront of our mind, our brother Jewel Forney, Lord, not just a gallant brother, not just a soldier in arms, but he's a good friend. And Lord, I pray that you would send the healing angels to that room, Lord. We know right now there's probably thousands of people lifting up prayers for that gallant man that has used the biggest part of his middle and toward the 50-year-old that he's been traveling around this world, and no telling how many people have been blessed by his ministry and have been healed. Many people have got families now that didn't have families because of this man speaking the word of God. And we pray that you would touch him, Father. Also touch Sister Vanessa and the girls and the boys, Lord. We pray that you just be with them. Give them comfort in this time of need, Lord. I believe, Lord, that you've never left that part of healing, that you'll always be that until we get into that new home, Lord. You'll always be a healer. You set it in motion a long time ago. I am the Lord who healeth all thy diseases. So, Father, we pray that you would do that. Be with each one, Lord. Take care of us on our walk of life. This thing that's come upon the world, Lord, this virus. Lord, we knew there was things coming, but I believe this is probably not the worst of it, because there's some really bad things in Revelations that we don't even want to talk about, that we're not going to see. Because we're going to, Lord, we're going to continue as Abraham. We're going to walk right into a body change, Lord. I pray that you just be with the ones that are not here, Lord, the ones that are here, the ones that are sick, the ones that's lost loved ones, Brother Dick's family, Lord. Give them comfort. Brother Al's family, give them comfort for the loss of his mother there, Lord. We pray that you just bind us together, Lord, in one unity as husband and wife of a great bride and a great bridegroom in its end time. Father, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now there was a promise made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one. Not the full seed that was, and let me bring this out just for a second, because, you know, Brother Dick was a seed of Abraham. But that old person that sat there and that expired a few days ago, that wasn't the seed of Abraham. That was the seed of mom and daddy that got him here so that he can declare the seed of Abraham that was inside of him. And that city that Abraham was looking for wasn't inside of him, but Brother Dick and each one of us have that city inside of us tonight. Amen? So Brother Dick knew that. And you know why? Because he went right to that when he passed from here to there. He left the seed of mom and daddy here, what the seed produced, the flesh, and he took that seed of Abraham, that faith seed, held on, but as of one into thy seed, which is Christ. And he just walked right over into where what? All the other seeds of Abraham are. Amen? What a joy. I mean, we miss Brother Dick, but what a joy that we can see that and know that it's a surety that that's what's going to happen. And that a man called Abraham walked on this earth physically just to show us what we're doing in this end time. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. In other words, God put the law in. He put it in effect to a certain degree, but it did not disannul that covenant he made with Abraham. It can't do away with that. Exactly. Amen. And though you got to be an Abraham to receive it,
right.
He didn't give it to Lot. He gave it to Abraham.
Right.
For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. In other words, if you do the Ten Commandments, what did the rich young ruler say? He said, I've done them all.
Right.
But he found out he wasn't the seed of Abraham. Because
right.
He didn't give up that one thing
right. And
follow Christ. But every seed of Abraham will follow Christ because it is the seed of Christ. Pretty simple. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Hebrews 6 verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after that he had patiently endured. Now he gave him the promise at first. But Abram had to become Abraham and had to walk 25 years. And then after that 25 years, he had to wait till that kid got 9 or 10 years old. And then God still was testing him being the seed of Abraham by promise. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's read this one quote in Who This Melchizedek. We read it before, but I want to read it more to get us to know that in this end time, we have had this word honed to an edge. So there's no variation of saying, well, we might be, or this might be the right way, or this might be the right quote, or this might be the right Bible. No. If you're guessing at that, you need to be born again. Because when you get born again, it will turn your sights right to the true Bible and the prophet's message, and they dovetail. So they can't be any different one from the other. So this man we call William Branham, the prophet in the end time, this is what he says about us. When Abraham met him, he was Melchizedek. He unfolds here what all the attributes to do in the final end. Now you and I are attributes, and this is the final end.
Amen.
So he's talking about us, all right? Every son of Abraham, every son of the faith will absolutely do the same things. Like I said before, if you can't in some way put your Christian journey inside of what we've been talking about, then I beg you to start in Genesis chapter 12 and open your heart up and let God call you. And you respond to what God said, because God said, then I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee.
Right.
I'll bless them that bless thee. Curse them that curse thee. I'm going to take you a land that I will show thee. We understand now that sure, we have to connect to it, but God's done made the promise.
Amen.
Somebody's going to be the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
Amen? You've just got to determine by your free moral agency if you want to be a part of that or not. Because that's what Abram, I believe, and I just believe this. I have no quote, I have no angel or light come into the room, but I do have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I believe, so it ought to be able to tell us that God may have spoke to many people during Abram's time, and they did not respond, just because it can't be any different than now. No one will go to the white throne judgment. I don't believe. No one will go to the white throne judgment and say, God, you never spoke to me. Because, see, he can't do that. He can't be a just God unless he takes you to the very day and says, I called you on this day and you did not respond.
Right.
Then I called you on this day and you did not respond. And I finally called you on this day right here and you never responded. Amen? But the promise of Abraham was, somebody said, I'll go.
Amen.
That's what Abram said, I'll go. I'll go. And that same way with Mary. Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. You say, brother, that's too simple. That's just the way God is. That's being a free moral agent. Yes and no. But two simple words, but very powerful. And Abram gets up and he walks with God and he accepts what God says and he just keeps walking in the different journeys of his life. And we're not going to pull it up. But we went through justification and we saw that justification in Genesis 12, Genesis 13, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, I'm just going to fly through these real quick to get to this last point because we've had them before. Romans 3 verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now Abram trusted what a man said. He trusted what a man said, get up and walk. You have to trust in yourself that the justifier can justify you. Listen, if you don't believe God can forgive you of your past sins, you're lost. I have to believe just as much. Listen to me. I have to believe just as much for justification as I did for sanctification and as I did for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because if you don't start out in justification and get your past sins chopped off, they just like Abram, all of his past as an idol worshiper and as an idol maker and all, that was all gone. But what did he do? He grabbed a hold of a Lot. He grabbed a hold of Lot and took Lot with him. Same way with you and I. We take some things with us. We've already been through this before. But the problem is a lot of times we justify ourselves. You see many times in people's life that they try to justify what they did. I can't and will not justify what I did. I did them. I was there. Amen? You did them. You were there. And the devil reminds you of them every once in a while. Once in the morning and a while in the afternoon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Me too. But you know what? That cannot be God if you're truly justified. He never looked at Abram when he got to Sarai and Hagar and that little deal they made, which was permissive will, not perfect will. He never said, now Abram, I promised you way back yonder. Now I know you were an idol. God's never, see what I love that about God. He's never going to bring up your past. Because he don't remember it. Oh man, he just doesn't remember it. So he's not going to bring it back. You know what he's going to bring back? He's going to say, don't you remember that night I called you? Don't you remember that night I called you and you responded and you got up and walked with me? You was a free moral agent. Because remember, as Brother Brown tells us, Jesus Christ came and died for everybody that would accept him, but he knew who would accept him and who would not.
Right.
Amen? So he could let somebody, that's why I've always, on predestination, you look at somebody like Adolf Hitler, or people like that, I use him for the horribleness of it. But God knew that if he let Adolf Hitler live a million years, he could come to Adolf Hitler every day in Adolf Hitler's life and say, Adolf Hitler, I am God. Walk with me. He knows by foreknowledge and predestination, especially by foreknowledge first, that he would not ever do it. Give him a million years and he'd never do it. So therefore he could take him whenever he wanted to. Because he knew that. Same way with you and I though. He knew that you didn't. Doing the things you did and the things I did and the things Brother Boyd did. All the different ones. You're not alone. We all got a past. God don't know it, but we still do. But he comes to a time and he says, hey man, come walk with me. Just move away from that. Just a little bit. Come with to me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Now see, that's where you got to start having faith like Abram even had, where Abram said, okay, God, if I'm going to be a father of many nations, I got no kids with even Sarai. I'm still Abram and I'm still walking around in Egypt and I'm going to Canaan and I'm going to this and I'm making mistakes over here and over there. He says, I don't worry about that. I'm not worried about that. He knows the end from the beginning. You and I just have to do what? I believe Abram just yielded himself to that voice. And that voice led him through all the different stages, same way with you and I in justification. Don't try to justify yourself.
Right.
Let God justify you. And when he does, it is a finished work. Amen. For those who he has justified, he hath already glorified. So if he brings you to a place, just like we're going to read in a few minutes, Abraham, God knew, we're going to read in chapter about 18 or 19, that God said, I know Abraham is going to take this journey and this part that he played in the earth and he's going to tell it to his son. And his son's going to tell it to his son. And his son's going to tell it to his son. And his son's going to tell it to his son all down through the generations.
Right.
God knew Abraham was going to speak of this man that met him in his life. Now, isn't that what you and I do when you become a Christian? You want to tell. You want to tell, hey, I met this man. Who did you meet? Oh, let me tell you about him. Well, have you seen him? No, I hadn't physically seen him, but I see him everywhere. And then when you get a little further in your journey, when you become Abraham and you get to be circumcised, then you look at Zach Black and you say, there's God in human flesh. I have met God in human flesh. I have met God in human flesh. But maybe not in your first part of your journey. Because Abram didn't either. But now remember, here's a little key that I was thinking about a few minutes ago. When Abram, over in chapter 14, he goes and delivers Lot. All right? He goes and delivers Lot, has a battle, and who meets him? Melchizedek. God, in human flesh, meets him and gives him communion. Now listen, that was such a life-changing thing for Abram. He never forgot that guy's face, because I'm going to tell you something. That man that had no father, no mother, no ending of days, no beginning of life, he didn't meet a different person over here when he was Abraham.
Right.
He met the same man.
Amen.
Same man that put on a little bit of flesh over that theophany.
Yep.
And they communed with each other. Abram and you and I always will always remember that God that you met in the first part of your journey. Because sometimes it looked like he left, and it looks like he did. It looks like even in justification, all the way to when he met him in the plains of Mamre, you don't see him appearing in flesh anymore. But he appeared just enough so that Abram could have what? An eye. A singular eye to know who that person was, and who he'll know him much more when he gets over here in this part of his journey. That's the same thing you do, same thing all of us do. Think about this today. God's going to come and he's going to meet you in a powerful way somewhere. Now, not every day. Sorry. God don't work that way. He's not a granddaddy. He's a daddy. Daddy don't call me every day and say, you behaving? Maybe he should sometime, but he should have a long time ago. But, I mean, really, he doesn't. No, what's he do? Son, how you doing? Y'all having a good day? What are you doing today? Blah, 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 blah. Love you. See you later. Well, that's the way God is.
Right.
That's the way God is. Yeah. He don't meddle in your business. He knows what you're doing.
Right.
He don't have to ask.
Right. Sure.
But he's still down through your journey. He just appears every once in a while.
Yeah.
Gives you a little taste of this and a taste of that.
Amen.
And he met Abram as Melchizedek.
Right.
In Abram, even the justification journey where he still had Lot with him. Listen, he had to go get Lot, so he had Lot with him.
Right.
But as he moved on into sanctification, what did God do? God put Abram to sleep.
Yeah.
And said, Abram, you ain't got nothing to do with this. I'm the one doing this. Because I'm going to meet you again in human flesh, and you're going to identify who I am because I've already met you one time.
Yeah.
Amen? Ezekiel 11 says, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And we already talked about this. And I will take the stony heart of out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh. You had in justification, you had that old stony heart. Hard, man, hard, especially against other people, especially against church folks. Really? I mean, you know, you do that because you're contrary. Abram, look, Abram had Lot, and that was it. He didn't have nobody else. He took his wife with him. And that was about it, pretty much. But I'll give them one heart. So in other words, he softens you up. I love that in Ezekiel because that really tells you, too, what God's doing. You can't change your heart. You can't change your heart. It has to be God to change your heart from a stony heart to a heart of flesh. So then let's identify that was God that did it. It wasn't you. Because if you justify yourself, you still got the old stony heart.
Right.
It's going to show up somewhere.
Right.
And you know what? God's going to make sure it shows up.
Yes. Right. Amen.
Well, him and his the devil's going to do it, but God's going to show you where you at.
Right.
Hey, you haven't got rid of that thing. Let me get rid of this. And let me give you a softer heart so that I can start working with you. And that's the way he did with Abram. But then Abram in chapter 18 comes into sanctification. The Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord comes to Abram in a vision. So what's he doing? He's coming to Abram in a vision. He's getting a little bit closer. Sanctification is getting just a little bit closer to God.
Yeah.
I mean, God's right there the whole time. You just got to what? Get rid of all this stuff. So that God can deal with you. Because when Ezekiel tells us that he puts a new spirit in you, at sanctification, you get a new spirit, not the Holy Spirit. You get a spirit to be able to be a little, to take that soft heart and be able to use it. God can be able to use it a little bit more. We know what the prophet of God said about sanctification. It's cleaned and set aside for service, not put in service. But he cleans you up and sets you aside for service. Now, he doesn't put anything in there yet. Because you've got a process to go through, Abram. You got to get to Abraham. You got to walk this journey. Some of you, some of us, went through justification in a long period of time. Could be sanctification a short period of time. Or it could have been a long period of time for us, some of us not heads. Not you. Just your socks. But some of us, it took longer. But you know what, God? It doesn't matter to God. He knows the points.
Right.
He knows the points. You've just got to get to them. And when you get to them, then God, listen, I'm going to tell you, Lord, you're obligated to tell me where I'm at. Because he did Abram. He told Abram right where he was at. He told Ruth right where she was at. Now, not verbally, but through somebody, some preacher, some elder, some layperson, some deacon, somebody, your mama, your daddy, whoever, comes to you and says, hey, son, I see you're not doing what you were doing before. I see you in the room, not slamming the computer shut when I walk in the door. Hello. Because that's a good sign that they don't want you to see what they're looking at. Right? Okay. But you've got that thing wide open and you hear, good evening, friends. Instead of trying to hide the volume from the rap music or all the other whatever's going on the computer. You know why? Because your life's open then. You've got a new spirit. You're heading toward the Holy Spirit, but you've got a new spirit that God is going, man, this is fresh. What did I see in that? How many times have we looked at things? Even as I get older, at 60 years old, I was telling somebody at work the other day, I said, the things that used to bother me, don't bother me no more. And I ain't talking about it in Christian world so much. I'm talking about just life general. Right? We get to our age, you worry about survival.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. We at this age, you worry about survival.
Yeah.
He's not worried about survival. He said, I got to find me a wife, and I got to have some kids, and I got to get a job. And boy's going, y'all don't have no more grandkids. But you see, my point is, as we go through our Christian journey, a lot of the things that bothered us in our past don't bother us anymore. It should not bother us anymore. Now, don't say, well, now you, well, then, well, by the way, this is going to be easy. No, it's not easy. It's not easy. It wasn't easy for Abram. Look at the heartache and trials he went through. God put him in a vision in chapter 18, or 6:15, put him to sleep and showed him hell. This is what you deserve.
Right.
This is what you were headed to.
Right.
But I took you out. You took the, and did, remember, because what did Abram do before he got put to sleep? He did everything God asked him to do. Take three rams, take three of this, take two doves, cut them to pieces, push them out in front of you, and keep the fowls off of them.
Right.
Amen? That's what that new spirit does. Amen. It keeps the fowls off of you.
Right.
Amen? Keeps all them other foul spirits from coming back. But you know what? You were doing something to a point and then God shut it down. God said, now, you're going to sleep, Abram, because I'm fixing to change you. I'm fixing to change everything about you. All these sacrifices. And listen, When you're in sanctification, I know I did, there was a lot of things I had to sacrifice. My old friends, the old way of what I was doing. I had to get rid of a lot of stuff that I hid under the couch. Amen? I had to get rid of that. It was a sacrifice. But you know what? I was doing it because God had showed me what to do. Through the elders, through the preachers, through the message of the hour, through the reading of the scripture. God was showing me what I needed to kick out, because remember, in sanctification, the Bible says the unclean spirit goes out. Right. Now listen, he doesn't go out willfully.
Nope. Right.
Mine didn't. Right. My house has still got the claw marks on the wall as I kicked that thing out.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, and that's the truth, because you had things in you that you had done for years.
Right.
Didn't bother you to go sit and drink a beer. We get back over here. Didn't bother you to go sit and drink. Did Louis? Didn't think about it. Didn't bother you a bit. Now, that demon's gone. Because you don't want to do that no more. Because, I'm going to say this, probably get in trouble. It's not the drinking part that bothers you. Because they tell you, the Italians and all the different ones, if you'll drink a little bit of wine every day, it'll help your intestines and it'll help your heart. They have no heart trouble over there much at all. But anyway, what I'm saying is, it's all that stuff that goes with it.
Right.
It's all them other demons that are hanging on to all that.
Yeah.
Amen? Because you go to a bar in the first place, you're not in the right place.
Right.
Amen? But you didn't mind going when you were a sinner, because you know what? That little guy inside of you was just as happy. He said, we're going to the bar. 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 Right? We're going to the bar, right? Yeah. Boy was like, I got excited when I... But you know what? He gets excited about something else now. Why? Because that demon had been kicked out. And God sealed it in, sealed it where that devil can't get back in there.
Right.
Okay? But that's under sanctification. The unclean spirit goes out, not willingly. But you know what? He can't stand that new spirit you got. Because it's like this. He can't stand it. Mine didn't. Oh, they fought. Sure, you get the same. Even your, and I didn't drink a lot, but even what I did, my body craved, and I know a lot of people were cigarette smokers, Brother Tom and different ones, that body was I didn't know, you? Okay. How many?
Three
packs a day. Three demons a day. All right, three packs a day. So, but that has to do with your flesh a lot of times, inside your body. Well, you did too. Inside your body. Now see, I had a problem with dipping, or, dipping skull and all that stuff. But your body craved it. Well see, you had to get rid of that. When the demon went out, your body's still doing this.
Yeah, right.
Amen?
Right.
Yeah. Well, now, I thank God that's one thing he done for me, because the day I walked up here and give my life to him, I had pockets full of skull, long cut straight, I had it piled up in the, you know, where daddy couldn't see it. I had it in the house where daddy and mama couldn't see it. But, you know, I didn't want that no more. That demon just went on out. And I said, I know I don't need that no more. So the very day, and that's, you can't do that cold turkey to a lot of people. Even Brother Dick. God bless him. He had a problem with cigarettes a long time ago. And he'll tell you that he did, Brother Tom Fallbush. And you look at that demon, you know, Brother Branham, it's wonderful to have a prophet that tells you, says, I'd rather see my wife drunk on the floor,
right?
Drunk on the floor than have a cigarette in her hand. He knew the difference between the two demons.
Right.
He knew one had a bunch of tentacles and that thing was just going to hold onto your body where the other one would not.
Right.
But we all have those. But the unclean spirit goes out at sanctification, because you know what? You start going to church. You start reading the Bible. You start doing things. You change your environment. Abram got up and left. God took him to a place and said, all right, Abram, you're dead. Because I'm fixing to kill you. Because remember, Abram's got to die. So that Abraham can live. I died, like Brother Dale said. Our death has already happened. Death hath no dominion over a Christian.
Amen. Right.
But like Brother Claude said, I do fear dying, because there's always that. You can't say when somebody puts a gun up to your head that you're not going to have a little sweat running down your armpits and a little bit of butterflies in your stomach. Why? Because you're still human. Even Jesus, right before he went to the crucifixion, he said, Lord, if this thing can pass for me, let it pass. The humanity part of him, even when he was on the cross, he said, where art thou, Lord? Where are you, Father? Where did you go? In other words, this hurts. But he was so submissive, just like Abram was so submissive to God, that he just kept walking right on. It doesn't matter what, you know, he had to get rid of Lot. He had to get rid of Lot. He had to keep walking. Then he comes to a place to where God brings a light down. And he puts Abram to sleep and he says, Abram, I am going to do this for you because you can't do it by yourself. Is that all right? All these different things. And then in chapter 16, we see that there was a wild child born out of that. And we talked about that and discussed it. But let's read this sanctification just for a second. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, Hebrews 2, verse 11. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Will I sing praises unto thee. Ezekiel 36, 25. Go down to verse 26. A new heart also will I give you. Now that was back there in justification. Yeah. All right. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Why? I'm going to drive the unclean spirit out, and I'm going to bring a spirit that we're going to read about here in just a minute. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh.
Right.
Now, number two, hidden life in Christ, Brother Brown says, he said he'd give you a new spirit. Now, that spirit isn't God's spirit. That's your spirit. God gives you a new spirit, then he says, I'll put my spirit in you. But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit. Make your nature a little more gentle and settled down, or he couldn't even live with you. So he has to get you fixed up first before he can come in. Okay? And nobody knows that but God. What you need. Amen? And then if we try to figure it out, sometimes we mess it up. We just let God do it. Let right here. I'm going to fix you up before I come in. I'll give you a new spirit. Then you take him anywhere. You go all kinds of places. He's got to get you fixed so you can entertain him right.
Yeah.
You're not going to entertain that new spirit in a bar room. You're not going to entertain that new spirit in front of whatever you've been watching on the internet.
Right.
You're not going to entertain that whatever, whatever. Just put it in there. Because
right.
God's not going to dwell in an unclean vessel.
Right.
That's why that's clean and set aside. Now, there's... In the analogy, there's no water in here yet. But it's clean on the outside. It's clean on the inside. So now God can at least put something clean inside of you. And you want him to seal it in by the seal of circumcision. So guess what? It won't fall out. If I'd have done that a few minutes ago, the unclean spirit would have went out. And if I'd have done that and put it back under another spigot, put it under a tap... Put it under a tap, you know, the beer would go in it. You understand what I'm saying? But when he seals it, now when he gave Abraham a new name and the seal of circumcision, he sealed that in. No way. Doesn't matter how much Satan shakes it. It's got a what? Got a seal on it. And Brother Brown said, how dare anyone try to take that seal off of that boxcar? What? Until its destination. So you and I are coming to that now, but we see that you get a new spirit. Abram had a new walk of life.
Amen.
He comes into chapter 18, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. Now this is not in human flesh. This is appeared, it says in the footnotes of Dr. Scofield, the Theophanies. So he met God, and there was a quote I was reading in there, and I didn't have time to bring it out here. Where Brother Brown said God had met Abram in many different forms and heard his voice in many different ways. He said, but he's going to come down, and he talks about it, meeting him one time at the slaughter of the kings and meeting that same man over here when he gives him the promise of the promised child. All right. So look, so God doesn't change. God doesn't change. If he met you in justification, he's going to meet you at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love him, how he's just absolutely to explain, like Brother Brown, what did Brother Brown say? A most illiterate person can understand the new birth. Why? It's a walk of life. It's your physical walk. How you walk in your life. All the stories of Abram, Ruth, and Naomi. We'll get into that Sunday, I believe. And Esther and all the different ones that never had the new birth. Folks, never had the new birth. Even in Esther, God's not even mentioned in there. But we know that he was the one that was doing the leading. But you see Esther walking through this whole part of this journey, and it was a journey of what me and you, same thing. Becomes the bride of all different brides. Has a little man named Mordecai, a little short guy, means little man, you know. That what? Guides her along. He's not the king, mind you. Mordecai's not the king. The king's the king. That's why Brother Branham's not God. He's the Eleazar. He's the Mordecai. He's the one that presents the bride to the bridegroom. Now, he's part of that bride, but he's never the bridegroom. There's only one bridegroom, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. So I know we don't have that problem, but somebody may have been listening in or watching in. I don't know. That wasn't in my notes. But the Lord appeared to him. Now, we're in chapter 18. So we can go ahead and bring chapter 18 up. Let's go through this real quick. Now remember, we come to this part of the new birth in type that we went through justification. He's chopped off our past sins. Abram is still walking, making mistakes, taking Lot with him, and then he's going to have to separate from Lot. And then he goes into sanctification where God puts him to sleep, shows him what hell is and shows him all the different things. And that little white light, Brother Brown said, that amber light is right there with Abram. He was right there with you the whole time.
Right.
You may not have physically been able to see it, but you should have been able to see it in the characteristics of things that you went through in your journey.
Yeah.
Amen. Because you say, that was God.
Sure.
You come through something, you say, there's nobody could know that, do that, or explain that, but God Almighty.
Yep, right.
And it might have come from a preacher
sure.
talking to you, or a buddy talking to you, a Christian man, and then you go, oh. And then you realize that was God talking to you the whole time.
Right.
Abram, I believe, when Abram comes down to Abraham and he meets Melchizedek for the second time, we're going to read it, Melchizedek for the second time, he's going, there's something special about this guy right here. There's something special, not about me. I'm not special. No, because God makes him special. God said, can I withhold anything from Abraham, being that he's the heir of this earth? And we'll read it in just a second. But Abraham didn't get the big head. And even if he did get the big head, about 10 years later, God's fixing to humble him. He's fixing to tell him, whatever I gave you, you're going to take and kill it. So here we go. Let's go to chapter 18. All right. Now we know one thing's for sure. Chapter 17, we talked about the new birth, right? So we don't have to go back to that. Chapter 17 was he gave him. Now listen, let me read you a couple of things that Brother Branham talks about just for a second about circumcision. Because in Ezekiel 36, in finishing the scripture that we read, he says, I'll put my spirit within you. So now we see that God is going to put his spirit. Now, he didn't give you his spirit at sanctification. He gave you a spirit to deal with what's coming. To deal with what's, and that's, if you didn't see that in your journey, that God changed you just a little bit so he could deal with you. Like he never dealt with you before. But when you come to that part of the new birth, he says in verse 27, don't go there. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. All right, because you've got his spirit inside of you then.
Right.
You've not got a different spirit or a familiar spirit or any other. You've got him.
Right.
And that's the new birth. And to confirm Abraham's faith, God gave him the sign of circumcision.
Right.
Let's read this right here real quick. Let's go to number 4, if you don't mind, switch back to that. I need to read that before we go through. Hidden Life in Christ, 1956. There you go. Many times God said, I'll give you a new spirit. That wasn't his spirit, that's your spirit.
Right.
Then I'll put my spirit in you. I'll give you a new spirit. Then I will put my spirit in you. And many times you get the new spirit and think you've got the Holy Spirit. That's why it's real hard for us to just sit back and say, this feels good, and not go on with God.
Right.
And listen, if you don't get it sealed up, guess what? There's that entrance right back again to where that unclean spirit will go right back in there,
right,
take seven demons worse than he was before, and make you a religious person, not a worse,
right,
worldly person. Because if you want to be religious, listen, Satan will get you religious.
Right.
Satan is a religious person. He's not a born-again person, but he's a religious person.
Right.
Remember, he was the anointed cherub.
Oh, yeah.
He knows all about the feelings of anointing and how to bend,
right,
you and move you into,
right,
trying to say, hey, everything's fine. Listen, even though Brother Dale, at 80 years old, been a Christian for probably 60 years or longer, I believe he's never come to a day to where he says, I'm satisfied. You should never come to a day where you said, this is it, I'm satisfied, I'm done.
Right.
I don't have to do any more, I'm finished. This is it.
Amen.
And see, what's going to happen is, though, if you start saying that, this is what's going to happen. And you see that, not so much in this church, but it has happened to several. You see them come in and they're all on fire for God, and they're all going to do this and they want to do that because they got that new spirit. They feel good.
Right.
They feel good. They get under the atmosphere. But when the word starts pounding,
yeah,
and it has nothing to respond to.
Right.
Everybody got that?
Right.
There's nothing to respond to that. Where do they go? They have to leave.
Right.
They cannot sit here.
Right.
And listen, I mean anywhere. I'm not saying just here in this physical place. You can't sit in the place and keep hearing the word of God every day, every hour.
Right.
Every time you come to church, you're hearing the word of God. You're hearing somebody preaching the word of God. And you're saying amen and you're going, man, this is good. But I'm just not going to. I think I'll go fishing next Sunday. Go ahead, because you'll go fishing the next Sunday.
Right.
And the next Sunday, because you know what? That fishing spirit that maybe was something else that made you fish on Saturday,
mm-hmm,
is now saying, well, that's okay. Brother Dale preaches the same thing over and over again. Brother Wade, he just reads the same quotes five or six Sundays in a row. I think I'll just go fishing. Well, you know what? That ain't the Holy Ghost water. Because that inside of you, that is his spirit. And where he is, that's where you need to be.
Right?
Right?
Right.
It's just real simple.
Right.
You see them come in, they're on fire for God. They've got this new spirit and they got this new attitude. And then all of a sudden, you see them 6 months later and women's cut their hair. And,
right,
you know, and they're ashamed of themselves like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, yeah.
Would hide under a penny if they could. But you know what happened was they got a new spirit, but they didn't get the Holy Spirit.
Right. Right.
They still was Abram, which was journeying around and making mistakes and flip-flopping. Listen, not saying they can't come back.
Right.
Never. Let God close the door. We don't.
Right.
I want this church full of them people that's on this wall right down here up under my feet. Because some of them is mine.
Right. Amen.
Amen? I'll clap myself. But that's what happens when you don't get the Holy Spirit. You'll get a spirit, all
right.
You'll get a spirit and you'll get a religious spirit. But what happened to Abram? Abram just kept on walking. Kept on walking. God, you promised. Now I've come to a place now where God says, I'm going to change your name to Abraham. Because as Abram, you were high father. Now you couldn't do anything with that name of the promise I was going to give you. But as Abraham, Brother Brown said, give him part of his name, Ham, give him part of his name. And he said, now you're a father of many nations.
Right.
Now, it didn't even look good at that point. It was Abraham dried up and dead. Sarah, womb was not able to conceive even when she was 16. So there was something going on there.
Right?
God had to totally change their body and change the configuration of her.
Right.
Bride?
Right.
Does he not have to change the configuration
right
of me and you
right
to receive the promised seed?
Right.
That's what he had to do to Sarah.
Right.
He didn't just change her body. She was at one time 18 years old
right
and lived with Abram for all them years and never had no kids. But they come to a point to where God just kept on going. I mean, Abram just kept on going. And Abram got to a place to where God said, I trust you now. Because that's what he's going to tell him over there in when he gets ready to kill Isaac. He's going to tell him, says, that's what Brother Brown says. He says, I've got you to this point. He said, I can trust you. Even the Bible says. And you say, well, was that God trusted? No, God already knew what was going to happen.
Right.
He just wanted Abraham to know
that
I am whatever I told you I am. I'm still going to keep that promise.
Right.
I'm on the scene more now than I was then.
Right.
If we ever get to that. Where am I at? I give you a new spirit, then I'll put my spirit in you. And many times you get the new spirit and think you've got the Holy Spirit. And trusting upon emotions and signs and things. See, that's why God put Abram to sleep. It wasn't a sign or a wonder when Abram was asleep. Like Brother Brown said, he zeroed you out.
Right.
Abram, you have nothing to do with this. All right? And trusting upon emotions and signs and things. When your life doesn't PV up to that. See, that's just a little raw, but remember, it's the truth. All right, let's not read the rest of that one. Let's go to, I want to read number 6. Number 6, if you'll pull up number 6. We'll skip number 5. Yeah, number 6. Why some people can't keep the victory. That's a pretty good, that's a pretty good sermon. Why some people can't keep the victory. Maybe we ought to read that every once in a while. Listen to this thing. Now, many times we try to make that thing say just, well, as soon as you get the new spirit, you quit your stealing, quit your lying. See what I mean? Unclean spirit goes out. Things like that. You say, oh, hallelujah, I got it. And you find out the first time anyone crosses your path a little bit, oh, mercy, what a difference. Sure. You blow up like a frog eating buckshot.
Yeah.
We've seen that happen. Just because a certain person didn't get a birthday party and it wasn't Brother Dale, people left.
Yeah.
Left the church. That's the truth.
Yeah.
And ain't been back since.
Yeah.
So, see what I mean? With the Holy Spirit, though, you can't do that.
Right.
You'll do this right here. You'll be like a frog eating buckshot. But let me tell you, brother, that's the reason you never got God's Spirit. That's true. Oh, he stepped on my toe. I'll just not put up with that, all right? That shows what you got in you. That's true. I'll put a new spirit in you, then I'll put my spirit in you. Now, the heart is the center of the emotions of the human being.
Right.
Not this heart, but the center part of you, all right? Is the center of the emotions of the human being. Your heart is the middle of you. That's exactly right. So God puts a new spirit in the middle of the old man. Sanctification.
Right.
Then he puts a new spirit in the middle of the new spirit.
Right.
Or heart. And puts his spirit in the middle of the new spirit.
Right.
Takes out the stony heart. Then he puts in a spirit to get along with us.
Right.
Then he puts his spirit in the center of that. Because you know what?
Right.
Well, you don't get the Holy Ghost on your spirit. You don't get it on your on your body. You get it in the center.
Amen.
In the middle of the new spirit, God puts that down. Now, there's not three or four spirits running around.
Right.
It's the same Holy Spirit doing different works at different times. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
I don't want you to be confused on that. We got all kinds of spirits running around in us. If you're not born again, you do.
Right.
if you ain't got the Holy Spirit, you got every spirit in the world running around inside of you. But when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, that's one.
Right.
That's one. That's the I am.
Right.
Not the I was, not the I'm going to be, not the I'm three or four, I'm one.
Right.
Amen? You didn't receive the third person of the Trinity. You received the only person of the Trinity.
Right.
The Lord Jesus Christ in spirit form.
Amen.
Of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Everybody know that? I'm sure you do. All right, now look at number 7, Israel and the church. Beautiful. God took Christ at Calvary, took him apart, soul and body. He sent the body upon his right hand and sent the Holy Spirit back, the covenant with the people. And you believe by faith like Abraham did. And he was given the seal of circumcision for a confirmation of his faith. Okay? For a confirmation of his faith. and you believe and accept Jesus as your Savior, then God gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a confirmation of your faith. And you say you believe and haven't received the Holy Spirit, something's wrong with your faith. God circumcises the heart the minute the believer really comes in full surrender.
Amen?
Say that, folks. Surely must have done something. I felt that even come back. See, he felt, like I said before, he was amongst a bunch of Pentecostals who said, I shouted, I spoke in tongues, so I must have the Holy Ghost. So these sailors right here. When the believer firmly believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, God's under obligation. See, when Abram started this journey and this person, this I am, that's going to do everything for him, when he met Abram, it wasn't a different person than he met over here, like I said before. It was the same person with the same characteristics, so Abram could identify who he was. You and I must identify where God is in your journey. Why? By knowing where you are in your journey. Then God gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a confirmation of your faith. When the believer firmly believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, God is under obligation to give him the Holy Ghost, confirmation of his faith. Say, what's the matter, Brother Branham? Just your faith, that's all? See, he could feel it coming from them Pentecostals. I needed to shout, I need to speak in tongues, I need to do this, I need to do that. That's not the promise.
Right.
The promise is an unconditional covenant.
Right.
The promise, they're saying condition.
Right.
Now, they could do that afterwards. They can do all that afterwards. But he's got to, it's just your faith, that's all. If you'd surely believe, God's there to give it to you. I was thinking about this yesterday. The very reason that God could give, listen to this, the very reason God could give Luther the baptism of the Holy Ghost is that Luther believed that the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
So God honored that faith and gave him the new birth. Now, whatever he did after that, he didn't have enough word to not to smoke or to drink or not. I mean, yeah, to smoke and do that. But right here, I was reading this quote and I said, man, that's how God gave the baptism of the Holy Ghost to Martin Luther, who was a Trinitarian, but he believed and he had faith. That's all. If you'd surely believe, God's there to give it to you. And Martin Luther believed. When he read that, he said, the just shall live by faith. And Martin Luther said, amen. And God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Oh, I love the Word of God. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Number 8, God's commissioning Moses. Read this real quick and then we'll get to... Because we got the circumcision. Look, it's not just the sign. It's a sign of your faith.
Amen.
He honored Abram's faith by making an Abraham. And then by that faith that Abraham now had, God gave him a seal of circumcision. And say, okay, I'm going to give you a sign. A physical sign now, because I can't give you a spiritual sign. I'm giving you a physical sign right now. Because I can't go inside of you because the blood of bulls and goats didn't clean Abraham enough inside so that God could dwell in him. It's just simple. You can't get the new birth under bulls and goats. It's just period. You can't. Because remember, it's only a covering. It only pushes your sin to Calvary. But by receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that you don't have a sin. Show me one. Oh, I did. Oh, there you go. But God gave him the seal of circumcision as a seal of his faith. Brethren, when you get pure, genuine faith in God, God will give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a seal of the promise, which is a seal that you have faith. Oh, that you have faith. Listen, I got to have faith. Like I said, I was telling you before, I got to have that same faith at justification. I've got to believe that a man called Jesus Christ died for my sin. He rose to justify the world but only certain ones. Some justify themselves. If Jesus Christ justifies me, I'm okay. Amen? Because he's covered all my sin, took my justification, and that's why he said the just and the justifier is the same person. You and I are just as eternal as God if we have the new birth. Amen? And now what the prophet tells us. Which is a seal that you have faith. You might make some kind of impression or make people believe. Or you might say you got faith. But when you really got genuine, unadulterated faith, God will give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a seal of the promise. That's not skim milk now, children. But remember, Paul goes on in Romans. We'll not read it now. But Paul goes on there in Romans. You can read it later on if you want to. He goes on in Romans and tells us, what does he tell us? He said, it's not physical circumcision anymore. It's a circumcision of the heart. It's a circumcision to where when you walk different. You talk different. Your whole makeup is different. Everything you do is different. Why would you want to do the same thing? You know what? I was thinking this other day that the definition of insanity is what? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. That's insanity. That is the true definition of insanity. People that are insane do the same thing over and over again, but expecting a different result. Something better, something different, but it's not. That's the same thing with you and I. If you're not born again, you're insane. Because you're trying to do this, you're trying to do that, you're trying to and get the results that God wants to give you, and you don't have nothing in there. But when you get God in there, like I said before, that's your spiritual rudder. Now you can pray for them people that are in bars. You can pray for the people that used to do what you used to do, or that still does what you used to do. Listen, but there was one thing for sure. When you come to a place to where you get born again, a lot of times, for periods of time, you have to walk alone. Just like Abraham did. He had no friends right there until, remember, Lot had already moved to Sodom and Gomorrah. All he had was him and his wife and his servants. That's all he had. He didn't have nothing else. He didn't have a congregation. But he's fixing to meet Melchizedek, and when he meets Melchizedek, there, and we look in chapter 18, finally. Now you can pull up chapter 18. Now let's read chapter 18. We may not get to 20. I don't want to get past about 8:30. So, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. Appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door at the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. Now we know who Brother Brown tells us that was. That was God Almighty in human flesh and two angels that were going to go to Sodom.
Right.
Now, we know that the characteristics of that was Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. They didn't stay with the elect, Brother Brown said.
Right.
They went down to Sodom to do what? Blind the people.
Right?
Right. But now remember, they weren't demons. They were God in human flesh too. Whoa. Billy Graham, Oral Roberts. Well, they never come in a message church. They had a job to do. They had a job to do. I believe we'll see them there just as much, and their whole crowd of people that they got saved under what they believe. I don't believe they spoke to thousands and millions of people all their life, and God's going to come up to the end and say, well, you didn't believe the prophet. No, they believed who they were. They believed they had a message, and they were identified by the messenger of the hour. Thank God that they were identified, that they were to go to Sodom, had a job to blind the people in Sodom and to call the Lot group out. So if they called the Lot group out, they must have preached them some kind of truth or they wouldn't get in. Amen. I just believe that. You hear a lot of people in the message say that they can't believe that Billy Graham had the Holy Ghost and didn't sit under Brother Brown's ministry. He didn't have Brother Brown's ministry.
Right.
He had his own ministry.
That's right.
John G. Lake, all the different ones. Dwight Moody, you can't say they weren't born again. They were born again believers. Smith Wigglesworth, all these different ones. But Brother Branham was the identified prophet in the Bible. But you got to look into, see, in the Bible, there's Billy Graham and Oral Roberts identified in the Bible. As the two angels that went to Sodom to draw Lot out. So let's read right here. And three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, "My Lord."
Right.
Now, I'm going to interpolate just a moment. He said, "My Lord, good to see you again." Because that was Melchizedek then, that was the same Melchizedek in verse in chapter 15 or 13, right? Good to see you again, Lord. I know what you was then, but I know what you are more now. I know why you're coming. I know why you're here. We're fixing to. We tried to fulfill the promise this way and made a mistake. We tried to go over this way and made a mistake. But no, I'm going to meet you right here, my Lord. If now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away from my servant. Stay here and commune with me, because I know more about you now than I did when I was, when you were Melchizedek to give me communion. You were a man that I was probably tired that day. We'd killed a bunch of people and slaughtered the kings, and we had brought Lot back, and I was really tired. I just really didn't have time to really recognize. I said, but oh, now I know who you are. I know why you met me then. And I sure know why you met me now.
Right.
Because you're the same person, and he didn't lose his characteristic either.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
I mean, we do. We put a lot on Melchizedek, where Brother Brown says he put a little 16 elements over his body, and he had to do the same thing to meet him in Genesis chapter 13.
Right.
Or he wouldn't have seen him. He gave him communion, and Abraham paid the man tithes.
Right.
You can't pay tithes to a theophany.
Right.
It's got to have some flesh on it.
Right.
So Abram recognized him, said, "My Lord." Now, he didn't recognize him other two.
Right?
My Lord. He knew who was the important one.
Right.
"Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your heart. After that you shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant." And you said, "So do as thou hast said." And remember what Abraham done. Go to verse 8. God ate a cow.
Yeah.
He had a steak.
Right.
Had cornbread. Had to be southern.
Right.
Drank some milk. Could have been buttermilk. Never know. But he had butter. You know, you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying about this? This was not as Brother Dale says many times, this was not we're not supposed to shake hands. But, "Hey, Melchizedek, well, God bless you. I've got a cow already cooked for you." And no, the Bible says he told his servant,
right,
"Go out there." Now, how many of you, T knows what I'm talking about. We've seen slaughter. We've even, by the time you, I'm sorry, ladies, you gut a deer, skin a deer, quarter him up. It took an hour, right, Richard?
Yeah.
At least an hour. Now listen, he had to make butter. He had to churn. He had to milk the cow. Somebody did. Milk the cow. What am I saying? He communed with him a long period of time.
Right, exactly.
Long period of time. Hours this man sat in front of that tent as Abraham, by faith, produced meat that was cooked. Not only that you got to have the meat there, he had it cooked. And he made hoe cakes, Brother Brown says in one quote, again, hoe cakes, which for those of you that are not from the South, that would be cornbread. And for those of you that are not from the South, that's not with sugar in it either. Cornbread is made with cornmeal. And God liked it because he ate it. So there was a period of time. You see what I'm saying? Abraham says right here, watch this right here. Verse 5. Go back to verse 5. "For therefore are you come to your servant." Remember I said cleaned and set aside for service? But what is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? God puts you in service. You become a servant. And you know what God did? God sat there. You know what? All Melchizedek would have done says, milk, butter, cook fillets, cornbread. Right? He's Almighty God. But he let Abraham show his faith. He lets you show your faith. He sat there and watched Abraham. Not a pretty sight. Had to kill the cow. Get it, skin it, gut it, quarter it. Cook it. While Sarah was probably cooking the whole cakes. What? Flour? Eggs? Forgive me, sisters. Not flour. Cornmeal. And whatever else you put in it. And you know what? How long does it take to cook cornbread? Yeah. Even in a conventional good oven that we have. It takes 30 minutes. Or longer. Now, they were doing it over a fire. They didn't go and go to Longhorns.
Right.
Here's my point. God was watching Abraham, and he was saying, you're learning, son. You're learning to be a servant. I've give you the seal of circumcision.
Right.
And 2,000, 4,000, and 5,000 years later, they're going to talk about what you did.
Right.
As you just thought you were doing me a favor by cooking me a meal. But now we're down come to the close of the end time and we're able to put it in our, language or to put it in our life that God wants to see a servant. God wants to see a servant. Somebody that he wants to make sure that you know your servant. Abraham, therefore are you come to your servant. And I'm fixing to serve you because I got to kill this cow. I got to cook this cow. I got to make the whole cake. And if she made butter, I don't know how. It takes a long time to make butter. Daddy's seen it. I've never seen it. They churn it.
Right.
They take butter and something else, and they do this right here in a little stick going up and down a paddle to churn and make butter. It takes hours.
Right.
So what am I saying is it wasn't just like, well, hello, Abraham. How you doing? We got to go down beside him. I'll see you later. That's not the way God is.
Right.
God communed with Abraham.
Amen.
He loved. There's no other place. There's no other place he'd rather be than communing with you.
Right.
He would have been somewhere else. Because
right.
He's Almighty God. No, he came to Abraham and said, Abraham, here I am. Let's talk for a little while.
Right.
And you say, Lord, let me cook you something. He says, okay. Where the carcass is, there's where the eagles will be gathered. What is the carcass? We're not cooking cows and whole cakes. We're coming to church. We're being servants. We're reading our Bible. We're studying. We're praying. And God's going, just like your father Abraham. You're just like him. Because we're the seed of Abraham. If we're the seed of Abraham, we've got to act like our seed. Amen. So let's go a little bit further around here real quick. And they did eat. Verse 9. Then remember, you know, he says, where's Sarah, your wife? Where's Sarah, your wife? He said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee. I, personally. I'm not going to send one of these two right here. These two right here has got a job somewhere else. These two angels that are eating and they're watching you but their eyes, if you'll notice, their eyes was always turned to Sodom. Because they had a job to do down there. They didn't have a job to do with Abraham because Abraham had had a name change and God was sitting there talking to him.
Right.
So they kept their mouth shut.
Right.
That all right?
Amen.
I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. And remember what happened? Sarah, she just kind of. Now, Abraham and Sarah were well stricken in age. They were. 99 and 90, I guess you might say. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Why? She dried up. Her womb had dried up. She had no more. She couldn't produce a child if she wasn't that way.
Right.
That's why I said, God's not got to just change us. He's got to change us from the inside out first. Everybody okay with what I just said?
Right.
He had to change Sarah from the inside
right.
to the outside.
Right. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
He did. He had to change her physical inside, her womb.
Right. Sure.
Not just make it young. He had to change it.
Right.
so that she could receive the promised child. Same way with you and I. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "I wax old, and I have pleasure. Shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" She remembered when, you know what she's saying? If we were young again, we might have pleasure, but I can't conceive. That's why she kind of giggled and said, "Man, this guy's telling us we're going to have a kid." But you know what God said? And the Lord said unto Abraham, he never talked to Sarah.
No.
He talked to the head of the house.
Right.
The Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, I shall of surety bear a child, which I am old." Is anything too hard for the capital L-O-R-D?
Right.
Huh? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I am will return unto thee according to the time of life. That's why Jesus could stand there, and I love that scripture where they're yakking about, and I say yakking, the Pharisees is always yakking about something. Kind of like the press does, Brother Trump. You know, just aggravates him to death. And you know what? They're just full of lies and everything else. But here's Sarah and all these different things, and here's Abraham going, "Man, the promise is to me." He really believed that promise was his. He put everything out of the way, and here stands Abraham, and here stands Sarah. All right? At the time appointed, I will. Now, there was the Pharisees, and what did they say? Jesus said, they said, "We be the seed of Abraham." He said, "Before Abraham was, he was standing right there." Don't tell me that Jesus that wasn't standing on the shores of Galilee speaking that was not that same guy that stood right there. That's why he could say, "Before Abraham was, I am." And then those carnal Pharisees, what'd they say? "Well, you don't even look 50 years old." Well, that was really completely a little bit dumb. That was like 4,000 years ago. Right? I mean, they said, "You don't even look 50 years old." Well, from the time he was standing there to this happening right here was about 4,000 years, or at least 2,000 years. You're not even 50 years old? That's the devil for you.
Yep.
Picks and picks and picks. "At the time appointed, I will return." In other words, Abraham, I'm going to handle it.
Yep.
When you get the new birth, you ought to be the most settled person inside.
Yes.
You should be the most. Now, you're going to have turmoil with the outside guy and the middle guy and the bills and the wife and the kids and the husband, the wife, and you understand what I mean? But inside of the inside, Brother Dick didn't have a struggle with leaving this world.
Right.
No. No. You should not have a struggle if you know that you know that you know. Listen, Abraham didn't struggle at all. Because God is telling him, look, he's believing what this man, God, is telling him. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee. In other words, I'm the one. I'm going to have to change your body. You can't do it. According to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, "I laughed not, for she was afraid." He said, "Nay, but thou did laugh." In other words, Brother Abraham said, if it wasn't for Abraham, God would have killed Sarah, because Sarah was calling God a liar. And that's kind of our, you know, that's our weakness. We do that. But you know what? We've got headship. We've got Jesus Christ, our advocate. We've got Jesus Christ, our attorney. We've got Jesus Christ, he's our judge. He's our jury. He's our advocate, our high priest to stand between when we make mistakes like that. And Sarah denied and said, "I laugh not." Okay. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. See, now they looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide anything from Abraham, that thing which I do?" Look, here's the scripture right here. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation." Now, he didn't promise him this before. He promised him he was going to give him that. But he's telling him exactly, not Abram, Abraham. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him.
Right.
For I know him."
Right.
Wow. "For I know him, that he will command his children.
Amen.
And his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord.
Right.
To do justice and judgment. That the Lord may bring upon who? Abraham.
Amen.
That which he has spoken of him.
Amen.
He was telling Abraham, I am giving you this promise. Because you're going to take this. And you're going to not just tell your people. You're going to live it. You're going to live it. You're going to live it in front of your kids. And your kids are going to live it in front of their kids. And their kids are going to... Because there comes Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and all the different ones coming out of Abraham. Right? Coming out of that lineage of Abraham. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. In other words, like Brother Abraham said, they went to Sodom, but God stayed with Abraham, the promised seed. Because he was going to stay there with the promise.
Right.
Now, not to say those are not promises down there in the world, but this is his seed.
Right.
This is his lineage.
Right.
This is the lineage of God.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Spiritually, not naturally now, not seeds as of many. Because there stands Christ telling Abraham, you're going to have a promised child and he's going to be named Isaac and you're going to have the, but what was he saying in the love letter? In the love letter, he was saying exactly what he said there in Romans through Paul or Ephesians, that it's one seed, which is me. Melchizedek would have said if Abraham could have swallowed that. He said, look, Abraham, I got some kids on down the line, some spiritual children, and they got to act like you.
Yeah.
You're a wonderful example, and I know you're going to take your example and you're going to go through generation. He said, but also my spiritual seed is going to go through generation to generation to generation, come down to the end time. Seven church ages. One. On the day of Pentecost, 120, 3,000. And he says, I know my seed. One seed.
Right.
Not many. One seed.
Right.
When 120 got born again, they got born again by one seed.
Right.
They had faith. But here we go. But look at Abraham. Let's just do this real quick. We're not going to get to chapter 20, so we'll just stop right here. But watch what Abraham did. Now watch Abraham says, look, God, if there's 50 righteous, will you not destroy the city? I love those people. I love those people. I don't, you know, like I say about this world, there's thousands of people dying, not just of this coronavirus, but everything else because of diseases. And Abraham said, 50. You know what God said? He said, okay, if you find 50, I'll not go down there and destroy it. In other words, Abraham was typing the same thing Moses was when Moses stood in the gap, Brother Brown said, for the people and said, God, if you kill them, you're going to have to kill me.
Right.
First, he said. You got to kill me first.
Right.
You know what Moses was saying? Moses was literally saying, God, if you're going to get to them people, you got to go through me first.
Right.
And Brother Brown said, that wasn't Moses, that was the Spirit of Christ in Moses.
Man.
So there's the Spirit of Christ in Abraham
right.
that is saying, God, if you can find 50, he said, okay. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. Now, because remember, Lot was, the Bible says, it vexed his righteous soul. Brother Abraham said he was like the foolish virgin and the different ones. They'd be given eternal life. That the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now look, the judge, capital.
Right.
He's acknowledging that's God standing there.
Right.
Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?
Amen.
Oh my. Same thing Moses said. You know what Moses said to God one time? He said, God, if you kill all these people, he said, it's going to be known that you took them out of Egypt. And God knew that.
Right.
But he wanted Moses to know
right.
that God honored what he said. Because
right.
he said, God, if you do that, said, hey, you're this great God, and if you kill all them people, they're going to talk about you.
Right?
That's what he said, right? But God knew what he was going to say, and God was going, that's my boy. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 then I'll spare the whole place. And Abram answered and said, I better lower that number a little bit. Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Look what he's saying, which I am but dust and ashes. He's not puffing his shoulders out and saying, God, you're going to have to do what I said. You need to listen to me. Right. No, he said, Lord, I'm ashes just like them people down there are ashes. Preadventure thou shalt lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? He said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet and said, preadventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will do not for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Preadventure there shall be 30. And he keeps going on. But watch what he gets down to. And it's a little bit, he goes down to 20. Now what he gets down to 32, and he says, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Preadventure 10 shall be found. He said, I'll not destroy it for 10. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. I believe if Abraham would have said 4, God wouldn't have destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Will you explain it? He kept going down from 50 to 40 to 30 to 20. If he had said, God, if you find 4, because he found Lot, his wife, and the 2 daughters. That was 4. But he didn't. He didn't go that far because he knew they were going to have to be destroyed. But then we know what the angels did. Let's stop right there. Y'all come on, musicians. We know what the 2 angels did. They went to Sodom and they called out Lot. And when Lot saw him, he said, my lords. He didn't have a revelation of one true and living God. But Sunday we'll get on the Genesis chapter 20. I hope you've kind of enjoyed that a little bit. I've enjoyed it, because even walking through Abraham's life again. Amen. But let's get into Ruth a little bit. Let's see what Ruth is basically going through, the same thing that Abram went through to Abraham. Because like Brother Dale said, it really wasn't, Ruth wasn't connected. Ruth had no connection to Boaz. Zero. Zero. She was a daughter-in-law of the sons that died. But he was kin to Naomi, which is the old Jewish. That's what he started with, to bring them through Israel and to show us all the examples. But when he got Ruth, they had a promised son too. Amen. Just like Abraham and Sarah had a promised son, so did Ruth and Boaz have a promised son. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
In the garden, 309. I come to the garden
alone,
while the dew is still on the roses,
and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share, like Abraham and Melchizedek, none other has ever known. Listen to this. He speaks and the sound of his voice. Abraham heard that sound. He said, my Lord. That's the same one that talked to me some 20 years behind.
And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share
as we tarry thine. None other has ever known. Oh, I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks.
Think about that.
With me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry them, none other has ever known.
You know, Abraham really enjoyed that whole day of communion with Melchizedek. And he may not have totally understood exactly everything, but the next morning or the next 28 days, something happened. They woke up and looked at each other and said, goodness, Sarah, you hadn't looked this way in 80 years. Abraham, you hadn't looked this way in 80-something years. You know what Abraham said? The promise, Sarah.
Right.
The promise.
Right.
It's here.
Right.
It's here. The promise is now ready to be fulfilled. Yes. Same way with you and I. We're heading toward that body change. We're coming to it. We're realizing that God's ever closer to the promise that he promised us that we would take a body change.
Right.
Promise that the dead saints would walk back into the building, those people that are downstairs and the ones that we've seen go on over in another dimension. Never to see them old again. They went through that filter.
Right. Yeah.
They went through that filter and left the old here and took the new over there on the other side. Right. Never see Mary Hall in a hospital with a bad heart.
Right.
No. Not anymore. We're seeing a young girl with that twirly hair with a little ribbons in it. That's what we're looking forward to, folks. It's not a promise, it's a reality. Because Abraham said, God, you promise. When they woke up that next morning and they were both changed, Abraham said, this is a reality. This is some real stuff right here. Because I couldn't do this, and Sarah, you can't do that. It had to be that man we met. Even back in justification, that same one is going to change your body.
Right.
God bless you. Let's pray before we dismiss. Let's pray for Brother Jewel just one more time. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would send, Father, again, Lord, as we ask you for our friend and our acquaintance and our brother in Christ, Brother Jewel Forney, that you'll touch him, Father, and raise his body up, supernaturally heal that thing, Lord, so there won't be any problems, Lord. Lord, his journey cannot be over. We need him here, Father. Just for a time we need, Lord, that little group needs him, Lord, because they've chose him to be their leader, Lord, and now we see what the devil's trying to do. And Father, we pray that you would come on the scene in a mighty, mighty way. Bless each one here, Lord. Bless the ones that are at home. Father, give us strength for Sunday coming up that we'll come back together, Lord, in service for you, Father, and do the same thing as we did last Sunday and let it be done decently and in order. And everything be done for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Just go with God. You're dismissed.